2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through verse 18. This is the reading of God's word. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. We pray that you would grant us an ear to hear. Lift the veil from our hearts so that we may truly understand the truth, that we may believe the truth and live according to the truth. Bless us and receive all the glory, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to look at verse 14 today and finish the first half of verse 17. Then next week, finish next time, verse 17. Then one more time, verse 18. And we'll go to chapter 4. After that, let me remind you what Paul is doing in chapter 3. He is comparing and contrasting the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant is the covenant that fades away. And we saw this already, so I will not repeat the whole thing. The Old Covenant is earthly, this worldly. And the works principle was added to it to show us that no one is saved by the works of the law. So when you look at the Mosaic law, Mosaic covenant, God gave so many laws, and if they would obey, then they would be blessed. And if they don't obey, they would be judged. But even those blessings and judgment that he promises in the Old Covenant is typological. They are earthly, not ultimate blessings or ultimate judgments. So why did God add this work principle to the Mosaic Covenant, which is ultimately the covenant of grace? Well, to show us that by the works of the law, no one will be saved. No one will be blessed. And you could see that from the history of Israel. They could not obey the law. Just like you and me. We, no matter how much we try, we cannot obey the law. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So if you understand the law correctly, you will understand that you are a sinner, and only thing that you truly deserve is eternal punishment of hell. But these false teachers, they taught work salvation as if you need to do something. You need to do works, and according to what you do, God will either bless you or he would bring judgment upon you. If that is true, then we are all damned. No one will be saved. Thus, the old covenant also works as a tutor to lead us to Jesus Christ, who alone has accomplished the salvation of God for his people. Because if you understand the law correctly, then your conclusion is that you are dead, forever dead. So it causes you to seek life, and the only place you will find that life is in Jesus Christ. So those laws works as tutor to lead you to Christ. But this works salvation teaching teaches that you are saved by your works. You are blessed by your works. So you don't really need Jesus Christ. Ultimately, it's you. Verses 14 through 17, but their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We have started to look at these verses last week. Moses, if you remember, put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. Paul uses that image of Moses putting a veil over his face to tell us why the people who are so focused on work salvation and this world do not understand the true gospel. Because a veil is covering their hearts. Paul tells us that their minds were hardened. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not with them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3b, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who comes, and he gives us the new hearts, make us a new creation. And it is only with the work of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that we are able to accept Christ. But their minds were hardened. Romans 11, verse 6 through 8. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Memorize that verse. If it is grace, then it's not works. If it is works, then it's not grace. You cannot have both and say it is by works, but it is also grace. Bible doesn't allow that. If it is works, then it's not grace. So these people who teach salvation by works or blessing by works is actually teaching works, not grace. I mean, really, think about this. You know, we hear things like, oh, you know, certain person is blessed by God. That is why he has, you know, this big house and good car. And it's because he did this and that, and you know, he came to church every morning so early, all these works that he has done, and because of those works, God has blessed them. If that is true, then nothing makes sense in this world. Because when we look at non-Christians, they are the ones who are really rich. You know, the richest person in the whole world, he's not Christian. Then why does God bless him if that is Christian blessing? He didn't do anything according to faith, and yet God blesses him according to their understanding. It's nonsense. And true blessings, it comes to us only by grace. Because everything that we do is sin. It's never perfect. And yet God still blesses us. That is why it's called grace. But see, these false teachers, they always teach salvation by works. And whenever they teach salvation by works, that salvation is worldly salvation. That blessing is worldly blessing. It's by works and you will have this world and things of the world. God will bless you with things of the world. So always remember this false teaching, the works principle, is always connected with the world. And Paul is clearly teaching us, don't fall for this. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. What then? What Israel is seeking, it has not obtained. Why? Because they tried to obtain by works of the law. But those who were chosen obtained it. Why? The Holy Spirit came and gave them faith. And the rest were hardened. John chapter 12 verse 40, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their hearts and be converted and I heal them. Why they do not understand the truth? Because God just not giving them the clear understanding. They're not saved. Holy Spirit is not working in them. It clearly says their minds were hardened. That's why when they read Moses, when they read Old Testament, they teach you works principle. See how Abraham, he did this and he did that, and God just blessed him with all these worldly things. They just don't get it. Because their hearts are hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, first five books of Moses, whenever it is read, a veil lies over their hearts. They do not understand. They do not believe. Even today, it is the same. Even so many people who attend churches, when they read Moses, when they read the Old Covenant, a veil lies over their heart. The same thing happened at the Paul's time. And nothing has changed. These false teachers, they have the same Bible, same Old Testament. But their teaching is completely different. It's all about this world, and it's all about works. And Paul is telling us what the true gospel is. It's all about heaven, and it's all about grace. And don't be surprised that people don't get it. Because it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Without His work, no one. I mean, sinner's tendency is just that. It will be focused on the world, and it will be focused on works principle. Every religion in the world, I don't care what religion it is, you go study it. Their salvation, their blessing is always based upon works principle. Guaranteed. Because that is what belongs to the world. Any religion in this world, it is based on works principle. And the false Christianity is also based on works principle. Only true Christianity is all about grace. We didn't do anything to deserve it. No, only thing we actually deserve is eternal punishment of hell. And yet God still blesses us. And like I said last week, we're not saying the worldly blessing is not important. And we thank God that He does give us worldly things. But we maintain that even those worldly things are given to us not because we did anything good or deserve it. And we maintain that those worldly things are not our focus anymore. God said, don't worry about what to eat, what to drink, and what to wear. Those worldly things God will give us. That's not our focus at all. But these people, when they read the Old Testament, they don't see the truth because veil is over their heart. Verse 14b says, it is, the veil is removed in Christ. Verse 16, but whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You know why they do not understand the Old Testament as a type? That it was a type pointing to the real thing. Reason why they don't understand is they do not understand Jesus Christ, what He is doing and what He is accomplishing. That's why they don't get it. The veil is removed only in Jesus Christ. Another way of saying the same thing is this. For the person whose veil is taken away, when he reads Moses, he sees Jesus Christ in all he reads. Because all those types were pointing to Jesus. So even when they see the worldly blessing in the Old Testament, because they understand Jesus and what He is accomplishing, they will know that it is the type of the ultimate blessing, which is heavenly blessings that Jesus Christ brings to his people. But no, they don't get it. They don't see Jesus. They only see the world, and they want this world. That's why Pharisees, Jews, killed Jesus, because Jesus was offering to them heaven. I mean, why would they capture Jesus and kill him if he was actually offering them this world? Why would they do that? That's exactly what they wanted. So if Jesus was offering them this world, they would welcome him. But that is not what we see in the gospel. But why is so many churches now offering this world? That somehow if you do this and that for God, somehow God will give you the world and things of this world. Does it make sense to you? Because if that was Jesus' message, no one in this world would kill him. We saw that Paul said the same thing. If I preach salvation by works, then I will not be persecuted. But he preaches salvation by grace. That is why he is persecuted. Because sinners want this world. That's all they care about. But veil is removed in Christ. So when you read the Old Testament, you understand that everything is about Christ. He understands that all the scriptures, whether Old Testament or the New Testament, all is about Jesus Christ. Go to Luke chapter 24 and follow along with me. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, I'm going to read from verse 13. This is after Jesus' resurrection, and two disciples are going towards the city called Emmaus, and Jesus comes to them. Verse 13, and behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. All these things, you know, Jesus being captured and he's being crucified and, you know, all those things. Verse 15, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing them. Just like these people whose heart is veiled, these two disciples could not see Jesus. They could not recognize him. Verse 17, and he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. You know, verse 21, it says, but who were hoping that it was him. Because what are they talking about? Deliverance from bondage of Romans. That they were actually waiting for what? The earthly Messiah, who will come and deliver them from the bondage of Romans. And now that with the Messiah, earthly Messiah, they will rule the world. We were hoping that he was the one. But he died. That's practically what they're saying. Verse 22, but also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the woman also had said, but him they did not see. These guys just don't get it. You know why? Because their understanding of Old Testament was not correct. Because where did they get this false understanding of Messiah? Where did they get this concept of earthly Messiah? Well, they read the Old Testament. And they understood the Old Testament in terms of this world. That's why they're expecting earthly Messiah. And they got that idea from the Old Testament, from the Bible. But why? Because the veil was covering their hearts. They could not understand. Why do I know that they misunderstood? Look at what Jesus says in verse 25. And he said to them, O foolish men! Clearly shows that they did not have the right understanding. O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. These disciples did not understand the Old Testament correctly. So what does Jesus do here? Beginning with Moses, the five books of Moses, and with all the prophets, rest of the Old Testament is written by prophets. So beginning with Moses, with all the prophets, meaning that with the Old Testament, Jesus explained to them the things concerning himself. Concerning Jesus Christ in all the scriptures. This is what Jesus is doing to these people. And you go down to verse 31. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. Now their eyes are open. Now they could see Jesus, but he's gone. But look at this. Verse 32, and they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scripture to us? That is very, very important verse. When were their eyes opened? When Jesus was teaching them the word. Teaching them the Bible. Verse 33, and they got up That very hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. And you go down to verse 44. Jesus says to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Psalms. What Moses wrote, whatever the prophets wrote, it's all about me, he said. John chapter 5, verse 39b, "It is these scriptures that testify about me." Romans chapter 10, verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." The Old Testament, according to the Bible, testifies about Jesus. Old Testament is about the things concerning Jesus Christ. Old Testament is written about Jesus Christ. If you do not understand the Bible in terms of Jesus Christ, no matter where you read, then you do not have the right understanding. You're not understanding the Bible correctly. A veil is covering your heart. That is why you must pray very hard every time you come to the Bible. Whenever you hear the word, like today, you pray. That's why I ask you to come to, you know, worship early so that you can pray. And whenever you read, you pray before. Because if Holy Spirit does not lift that veil, then I don't care how many times you read, I don't care how much you hear, you're not going to understand. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. You have to depend upon Him. And even as I preach, even as I prepare my sermons, whenever I teach, I pray to the Holy Spirit. Because if He doesn't teach you, I don't care how wonderful teaching I do, it's just not going to help you. But understand what Bible is teaching. When you come to Jesus Christ, that's only then you will have the right understanding of everything that Bible is speaking of. So when you see Abraham in the Old Testament, it's not about be like Abraham so that I will be blessed with worldly things. No, it's about Jesus Christ. So many people don't see it. They just don't see Jesus Christ at all. They read and read and read and know Jesus. A veil is covering their hearts. You have to come to Christ so that that veil will be lifted so that you may have the true understanding. And how does the Holy Spirit do that? Well, He's doing it with the Word. Do you remember what these disciples were saying? While He was teaching us the scripture, their eyes were opening. Do not neglect the studying of the word, hearing of the word. You have to come to the Bible studies. You have to come to the worship. Because it is when the word is taught and preached. Holy Spirit works with that word to lift that veil. See, John chapter 8, verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Even Abraham saw Christ. John chapter 5, verse 46, for if you believed Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote about me. And that was so interesting, right? These Pharisees, these Jews, man, to them, Moses was their hero. And their misunderstanding, false teaching, was based upon their false understanding of what Moses said. Jesus says, if you believe what Moses said, you would believe me because he wrote about me. But these people who were expert at the Old Testament, expert at what Moses wrote, rejected Jesus. They just don't get it. And so many people who go to church today, the same thing happens. They read the Old Testament, they don't see Jesus. And they use the Old Testament in this false teaching that if you do certain things, God will bless you with the worldly things. That is false teaching. God will give you worldly things. Don't worry about it. He will give you so that you may survive, that so may you may live the life that he gives to you. That's not your focus. It's to understand Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he has accomplished. Well, we come to verse 17. Let's just talk about the first half of it. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, very, very difficult verse. The Lord is the Spirit. Now, it says the Lord, Jesus Christ, is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Well, I want you to understand this verse in this way. God is my shield. When you say that, God is my shield, we do not mean that by nature, God and shield are the same. Obviously, you know, when we say God is shield, we're not saying God by nature equal to shield. So when we have Lord is Spirit, we're not saying that Jesus is the same person as the Holy Spirit. This verse does not, you know, negate the doctrine of Trinity. But what do we mean when we say God is my shield? Well, God functions as my shield. And we must understand this sentence, the Lord is the Spirit, the same way. Lord is the Spirit. Jesus Christ, in many functions, is the same as the Holy Spirit. The work of our Lord Jesus is never without the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and when Lord was about to start the public ministry, the Holy Spirit came down upon him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 45, so also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, the last Adam became a living, life-giving spirit. And we already saw this in our context, the life is equal to the Holy Spirit. So here, Jesus Christ is the one who gives us the Holy Spirit, the life. The phrase, the Lord is the Spirit, is like what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. No, Jesus is not the same person as the Father, but you understand what he's saying there. Jesus is not the same person as the Holy Spirit, but Jesus and the Holy Spirit are identified together in their work of salvation. Thus, our verse says that Jesus is the Holy Spirit, but it also says that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. See the identification? Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Only the person to whom Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit, and only the person to whom the Holy Spirit came and gave him the true understanding and the true faith, only that person will believe in the true gospel. The veil is truly lifted from his heart. And what is the purpose of being this veil being lifted up? What will be the ultimate purpose? So veil is lifted up. So what? So what will be the result? So you will see Jesus Christ. That's the only reason. Only purpose, so that you may see Jesus Christ. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. He enables us to see Jesus. Wherever we go in the Bible, Holy Spirit enables us to see Jesus Christ. Who you are in Jesus Christ. The lifting of the veil, then, is the work of the Holy Spirit. And he works always with the Word. It's not like Holy Spirit just coming to you and just mystical whatever and give you knowledge. No, he works with the Word. And that's what John is keep telling us. When that another comforter comes, what will he do? He will testify about me, Jesus. What will he do? He will make us remember what I said to you, my words. He will lead you to my truth. Holy Spirit, he works with the Word. See, while he was explaining the scripture to us, their eyes were open. Now for those to whom the Holy Spirit came, for those to whom the life came, for those whose veil is lifted, they have the true freedom. And this freedom is so important. And don't miss next week is the Lord's Supper. So don't miss at all in Lord's Day. Why would you miss it? Because this freedom is so important, but so many people misunderstand this freedom. John chapter 8, verse 32, the truth will make you free. The word is truth. John chapter 8 verse 36. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. So it is Jesus Christ who gives you this freedom. But how does he do that? By giving you life, meaning he gives you the Holy Spirit. But how does Holy Spirit makes you free? Well, the truth will set you free. He will use the word to set you free. Put all that together. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So what he's in fact saying is where there is Jesus, and where there is the Holy Spirit, and where their Holy Spirit uses the word, there will be liberty, the freedom. And this freedom, this liberty, we'll talk about it next time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Spirit who is in us, who is working in us. When your word is read and taught and preached, your Spirit give us true understanding, true faith. And Father, we see Jesus Christ. We see that he is the purpose, that he is the meaning. Oh Father, let us understand everything, not only what the Bible says, but everything about us, who we are, what is our purpose, what is the meaning of our lives. Everything is Jesus Christ. Give us true understanding and true faith. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.